The fence from Furama Knights. Octagonal, the widest runner, putting in a run. Bump with Seascape. Then Count Chivers and Doremus cutting to get out. It's Octagonal starting to lift after Sullius. Octagonal out after him now, followed by Count Chivers and Seascape. Octagonal on the outside and Count Chivers. Octagonal, yes, the big O lifts. Octagonal wins it a neck, Count Chivers and O Seascape. Then Japan further back in the race.
Oh, what a great call by Brian Martin there. The big O lifting to win the 96 Underwood. And that was a big win for Octagonal because he had been in the wilderness the couple of starts prior to that, and that was when the big O bounced back. I'm sure that replay would bring a smile to John Hawkes' face. John, good morning to you. Really appreciate your time looking back on some of the great horses that Bob Ingham and his brother Jack had. And I bet that day sticks in your mind with the big O at Caulfield.
Yeah, he's been a little bit out of form and things weren't going right. And Darren Beaven got back on him. And yeah, he just switched on that day, but yeah, he was just a bit off, and then he came back good in the autumn again.
John, tell us about how the association with the Inghams came about. I remember in the day when it did come about and you got together, it was instant success.
Yeah, well, originally I was in Adelaide up till I was about 40, and I'd run second to Colin Hayes about, I don't know, 8 or 10 times. So there was a consortium, Bob LaPointe and the Inghams, and Sangster and Norman Carline, they all wanted me to go to Melbourne, and I went to Melbourne and did fair. Didn't do anything special. That was when Colin Hayes and Maple Smith were in their prime. And anyway, we did okay, but we didn't do what we expected to do, and I only got the second stringers anyway. So, but then, you know, Jack and Bob, I met them through that, and then that's where they rang me up one day and... You know, said the jets at the Bankstown Airport, you know, come up, fly up. So they flew me to Sydney and wanted to take over the Ingham operation, and well, the rest is history now.
You'd have had a lot to talk to Jack and Bob about, John. They both had a love of harness racing before they... My mail is they flipped a coin. We couldn't commit heavily to both, they said. So I think one was more into the trots and one was more into the gallops, and it came up heads and the gallops won out. And they were a humble Australian success story, weren't they? They were from the west of Sydney, and they capitalised on the humble chicken. You must have clicked a lot with... It must have resonated a lot with you, their life story, Jack and Bob.
Oh, yeah, look, you know, as I said, I knew of them before I'd sort of gone to Sydney, actually. I had told Teresa when I trained her in the early days, and she ran, in Gold Brick, beat me in the far lap, I think it was from memory, and that was owned by Jack and Bob. And so I sort of knew of them, you know, way back then, and not that I ever dreamt I thought I'd be, you know, training for those type of people who, well, they turned out to be like, they were big in those days, but overall, they've turned into icons now. And I mean, what they did for the sport, I doubt whether anybody will ever do what they've done. And, you know, as I said, the amount of money that they put into it. And you know, as I said, so they deserved every bit of success they had. They hadn't had a lot before we'd went there. And I said to them, if you back me, I'll get you the results. And most people thought I'd be back in Adelaide or Melbourne within 18 months. But anyway... 25 years or more on, and we're still batting away, you know, and the boys and I, we're just little battlers here in Sydney and Melbourne just trying to get a winner.
Oh, sorry, was that a cross line? Did someone else just jump on the line there, John? Hey, listen, the cerise colours, mate, they must be your favourite colours, but for a set of silks, racing silks, while you've been training there, they virtually became the most successful and best known set of racing silks in Australasia.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I think they, you know, at that time they brought a lot of people into racing, you know, a lot of young people and that, and that's what you have to have, you know. Today's a different era again. But look, you know, as I said, you know, I don't think anybody will ever forget the cerise. As I said, I think they'll be an icon just like Jack and Bob were. You know, they have gone on and won races, you know, since I moved on, you know, with the boys. But, oh, mate, they deserved every bit of luck they had, as I said. People that they just had a real passion. And as I said, the amount of money they put into the game, as I said, it's and employed people, the whole thing, the studs, you know, the whole operation. It was awful big operation. So, and as I said, I doubt whether anybody will ever do it like they did anyway.
Well, you mentioned how big the operation was. When it was at its peak, Crown Lodge, I think you had four major stables around Australia. How was the pressure and how did you deal with that? Because I think Jack and Bob didn't mind a big punt as well back in the day.
No, they loved to have a bet. You know, that's one thing they always loved to do. So, but it was more a passion. Yes, we had Adelaide, Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane all going at the one time. And, you know, as I said, we generally had about 650, 700 horses every season. They used to breed approximately 250 every year. And then eventually we started buying some at the yearling sales. So, but it was a massive operation. I think they had, somewhere 350, 400 brood mares, you know, up at Woodlands. It was a magnificent operation, as I said. But they entrusted me, and between me and Trevor Lobb was on the breeding side and I was on the racing side, and you know, we're still good mates and we work together. And Jack and Bob were just fantastic. You know, as I said, they backed us, and me especially, to the hilt. And you can't ask for anything more than that. And as I said, they used to come down every Monday to the Crown Lodge and, you know, have a chit-chat for a few hours. And, you know, we'd talk a lot in between. But overall, you know, they never interfered. They let me do my job. And you know, it turned out to be, you know, a wonderful, wonderful time. And we had some fantastic times with Jack and Bob. And, you know, and as I said, to get a Knockagonal and then get a Long Row, you know, I think, you know, that sort of sealed it even more, because they'd spent a lot of money before I went there and perhaps never had the success they were hoping to get. And as I said, it just turned out to be a, you know, a wonderful operation. And everybody sort of enjoyed it, and I certainly did, I can assure you.
John, you had moved on by 2008, but I remember the sense of sadness because, as we've been discussing, they were such an Australian success story. And when they sold out to the Arrowbone Godolphin in 2008, and obviously Godolphin have taken it almost to a different level, but there was a sense of Vegemite or Holden had been sold out to foreigners. Did you have a little sense of sadness that one of the great Aussie stories had passed on when they sold the operation to Godolphin?
Yeah, you know, look, as I said, it was, yeah, a bit disappointing, you know, when it came. But as I said, you know, it was such a real good offer. I think Bob just thought, oh, well, you know, that it was too good to refuse, you know. So, but yeah, look, it was always sad. I mean, you hope those sort of things, you know, are going to go on forever. I mean, nothing goes on forever. But yeah, look, it was a little bit disappointing, as I said. Even when I left, Peter Snowden took over, and, you know, they had, you know, some real success even then. You know, I left when I left at the height of the pandemic in those days, you know, so I left them in real good shape, and I said, Peter, you know, pushed on. So, you know, it was unbelievable. And, yeah, look, something like that, when it moves on, but in saying that, it couldn't have got into better hands, really, with Godolphin, because they're much the same. They've got a passion for horses. They employ a lot of people. And as I said, they race a lot of horses. So, you know, in a roundabout way, they're just carrying on what Jack and Bob started.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, there's colours come and go, Hawksie, and there's a set of colours that's sort of blue with a lightning bolt down the middle of it and yellowy sleeves, and that's Rupert Lee and his mob, and they've become a big part of your stable as well, and they've got Masked Crusader going around the last at Rose Hill today, so every desperate who's trying to get out will be trying to get out on your horse today, and that includes me, Falgate, and Dan Malecki. What about Masked Crusader today?
Yeah, well, the horse is fine. You know, he should have won his last two, but anyway, when you got to put jockeys on, you never know what you're going to get, you know. So, but all things...
You've always been fond of jockeys, haven't you, John?
Well, you know, as I said, everyone worries about the jockeys, but as I said, they only get on it for 2 minutes. We're with them 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and, you know, there's the jockeys on it for 2 minutes, and then they want to tell you everything about them, you know, how they do this, that, and, as I said, if they'd come in and say, look, I'd rode a poor race, I rode it bad, but every time they come in, they've always got an excuse. It's not this, it's something else, or I couldn't never had no luck with that. I said, that's why we put you blokes on, you know. So, but that's always been, well, it's not a problem. It's just that no matter how hard we work or how good we get the horses, if they don't ride them right, well, it ain't going to make no difference. But the horse is perfect, and the 1400 will suit him. He's drawn a good gait, so he should have a lovely run. And, yeah, in a roundabout way, it's time to stand up too at the same time. But he should have won his last two.
And in the feature race, the Golden Rose, John, you've got two horses. They're just about equal second favourites, Ole Kirk and North Pacific. Defining race perhaps for their stud careers as well because of what's on offer. They're both colts. They're both lovely horses. Have you got a preference, and do you think you might be able to knock off Rothfire?
No, I think he's beatable, Rothfire. I mean, he was really impressive his first up, but both our horses ran fantastic, and North Pacific, this has always been his goal, you know, so this is his grand final today. And Ollie Kirk, it's nearly his grand final, you know, the Caulfield Guineas is on after this. So both horses are at their peak, and it's a lovely race for them, the 1400 on their home track. Not a big field, but really competitive. I would have preferred a bigger field, you know, which you get genuine speed, and these sometimes can turn into funny races when you get small fields and you never really know what's gonna happen in that respect. And sometimes it's not always the best horse wins, in my opinion. In when there's good speed on, the best horse always wins. So, but they're as fit as they can be, and they will certainly give the favourite a run for his money.
Well, John, best of luck today. And how's Master of Wine ticking over?
Yeah, he's good. Yeah, he's ticking over. He's running, you know, Saturday week at Flemington. So, you know, so in the 2000s. So, yeah, we're happy with him. And his last run was great. So, yeah, he's progressing along really good.
John, great to spend some time reminiscing about the great horses you trained in the Cerise. Good luck today.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.